D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, the game. Wait. David James, I need you to cut that music. I need you to play my music. Hit it! That's right. That's much better, because y'all played a nasty trick on me on Friday by playing Michigan State's fight song as we were wrapping up the show. Well, here's Duke's fight song after my Blue Devils beat Derek Spartans on Saturday. So take that, D-Mace.
Man, I deserve it. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
Refs and backcourt. Mm. Man.
It was a good game. But I had to get that in because y'all played a dirty trick on me on Friday. I didn't even know that was Michigan State's fight song. Anyway, let's go to Tony on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Tony, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
All right. First of all, I enjoyed watching both young men play. I'm a Titan fan. I've been a Titan fan ever since they was in Memphis. Vanderbilt over here. So I'm a diehard Titan fan. No matter how you look at it. But the truth is the truth. The one thing that y'all didn't say about this game, number one is you play who they put in front of you. And when I watched the game yesterday, Shadur got sacked more times than Cam Ward did. And the real thing is Cam Ward has practiced, took reps all – how many games is this? 14, 13? He has taken reps all 14 games and ain't showed no improvement at all. And in that game yesterday, he missed wide-open receivers because he felt the pressure and he was too scared to stand in there and make the throw. How many times yesterday did Shakur's third made the throw and got up off his backside?
Thank you for the call, Tony.
I mean, there's not much, you know. I don't know. It's like talking to a brick wall. That's what it is with people. And get it. There's one thing to say, you know. He still has some improvement to go to be had. But then there's another to say he hasn't improved at all. Again, if you watch the game only one way and you're looking for, you know, stats and all of a sudden, then okay, he hasn't. But if you're looking at, like, the things that are going to be important moving the ball, like, listen, he's missed guys. And it's funny because the guy that he tends to miss downfield is a DK. He seems to miss DK down the field more than anybody. I don't know what it is with those two connecting on deep routes, but it seems like he misses him. And the caller, why you didn't talk about all the drop passes that Cam has had this year? See, you can't be selective in what you talk about, you know? Because if you're going to give the whole – if you're going to talk about the meal, let's talk about everything. You know, don't just talk about the dessert or talk about how bad the peas was. Yeah, the peas probably were bad, but – the meat was really good. You know, the collard greens got better than what they were the last time. You know, so there are some things to that you're able to digest. But to say that he hasn't developed not one bit, and I get it, it's a matter of, you know, one's opinion, but you can't, even the harshest of critics can't look at Cam and say he hadn't developed not one ounce. Now, that is just like, you're trolling big time. And I know he may be too old to even know what trolling means.
Be nice.
Because I'm damn near that age, too. Now, there's a lot of things my kids got to tell me. But to say that he hasn't developed at all, that's just
hyperbole.
Just, yeah, that's just hyperbole. Come on now.
Willie, any?
I don't have much to add. I think we've covered it. It's not all going to be solved today.
No.
It's a day-to-day process. If you look at the context, it's very different than if you just look at the set of numbers, which leads us into the college football playoff.
What a fantastic segue, Willie Donick. Yesterday, we were treated. That's one word to use. We were treated to the college football playoff bracket. All 12 teams have been filled in. Let's quickly run through the matchups. In the first round of the college football playoff, number 12, the James Madison Dukes at the number 5 Oregon Ducks. The number 9 Alabama Crimson Tide at the number 8 Oklahoma Sooners, a rematch from earlier this season. Another rematch from earlier this season, the 11th ranked Tulane Green Wave at the Ole Miss Rebels at number 6. And the 10th seeded Miami Hurricanes at the 7th seeded Texas A&M Aggies. The top 4 seeds, Indiana at number 1, no surprise after they defeated Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. The Buckeyes number 2, Georgia number 3, and Texas Tech number 4. Now, I would say the most controversial decision made by the committee was having Miami make the field at number 10 after last week being at number 12 behind number 9 Alabama, number 10 Notre Dame, number 11 BYU, and number 12, of course, as I just said, was Miami. Now, BYU was destroyed in the Big 12 championship game by Texas Tech 34-7. So BYU moves down the list. And the entire time that we've had the college football playoff rankings this season, 6 full weeks, Notre Dame has been ahead of Miami the entire time. But since BYU lost, they move down. Miami moves up. Notre Dame and Miami are side by side for the first time. And all of a sudden, the College Football Playoff Committee says, now we'll talk about head-to-head when Miami beat Notre Dame at home, I believe, on August 31st. That's how long ago it was. So Miami makes the field at number 10. Notre Dame, the first team out. BYU, the second team out. Notre Dame, by the way, took its ball and went home. Notre Dame will not be participating in a bowl game. So, Willie, I've set you up. I'll let you take it from here.
The bottom line is the process of selection is extremely flawed, and the leadership of the committee is extremely flawed. Hunter Yurecek was exposed so badly in the last 2 weeks alone. I wasn't paying any attention to what he said 4 weeks ago. Maybe I should have been.
Well, I don't think he was the CFP chair 4 weeks ago. That was Mac Rhodes, and then he stepped down.
Right. And I, you know, it does make you wonder. Hunter Yurecek, they were, he's the athletic director at Arkansas. There was a Hog fan that chimed in after I, you know, lit into him last week from South Florida on my tirade. And he said, hey, I'm a Hogs fan. I don't like him either. Like, he was trying to hire a coach. Like, you wonder, like, that's got to be his priority. But to me, if you're going to chair that committee, you got to know everything. You have to know the tough questions are coming. You have to back your committee. And all he did was expose how bad the process is. He contradicted himself tons of times. And it also exposed the fact that the made-for-TV, let's have a TV show and discuss where everybody's ranked every week, is the worst thing you can do. And yeah, am I bitter about how Vanderbilt was treated? 100%. 100%. But I think if you look at it objectively, what I didn't like, I would not sit here and say Vanderbilt got screwed if they didn't make it, because you have to screw somebody, right? Somebody was getting screwed. Notre Dame got screwed,
yeah.
Right? They were in it the whole time. It's different when you were never in there and you're arguing you should be in there, right? Vanderbilt was hovering on 14. And they're like, why aren't we in this discussion more? Notre Dame was in there going, hey, we got this. We just keep winning. We're going to be in there. And then they had it pulled the rug out from under them. They're so bad. They're so mad. I guess they're not even going to the bowl game?
Nope.
Now, you talk about crying at your tears. You think Clark Lee was bitter. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame just said, we quit. We're not playing. Forget it. You know, but the made-for-TV thing is dumb. You should take all the teams when they're done playing. If you want to do it the week before the college football, the conference championship games, that I understand. Because that's a tricky one, is how do you feel about how your performance in the championship game matters or doesn't matter? Because you're playing that game. But ranking these teams on the front end, this is what really ticked me off. if you put a blind resume up there of Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, and Miami, Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, and Miami, take the names off of there and put the numbers there, just the numbers, who they beat, strength of schedule, the league they play in, all the context.
Vandy would be in.
Vanderbilt, I don't know if Vanderbilt would be in. But you could argue Vanderbilt should be in over those two teams. They have things that are clearly better. But this is what ticks me off. They weren't even in the discussion. It became a discussion about Notre Dame and Miami. Oh, they played each other. Well, what about that head-to-head game? Well, is that Miami? What about Vanderbilt?
They showed those graphics, and Vanderbilt was nowhere to be seen.
They didn't even bring them into the discussion.
Alabama, Notre Dame, right. BYU, Miami. I believe those were the four teams that were on all of the graphics. No Vanderbilt. Nowhere to be seen.
So they were eliminated for convenience. That's what it was. Now, you tell me. Pitt was ranked, I guess. Miami beat a ranked Pitt team. Notre Dame beat a ranked Pitt team. Tell me Pitt versus Tennessee. Pitt versus Missouri. Pitt versus LSU on a neutral field. Who's favored? Is Pitt favored in any of those games on a neutral field? Heck no. You know what Pitt's record is? 8-4. You're telling me that Pitt could go 8-4 in the SEC? No, but, oh, Vanderbilt, they didn't beat a ranked team. They beat Notre Dame and Miami beat a ranked Pitt team. Come on. So go through the process with the right timing, the right logic, with a full knowledge of nuance, who did everybody play, take the politics out of it. You should meet the week after the regular season ends for the first time. The made-for-TV drama is for the birds. It's a bad thing, and you got to get a better leader than Hunter Yurecek. He was exposed on how that happened.
Well, if the message isn't, you know, synced up, you know, concisely in the way it comes out, then you're going to have issues like you have now with Hunter Yurecek, where, you know, the things that he's saying doesn't line up with what has been going on for the last couple of weeks. You're right. It exposes the committee for what they're probably not doing. When Vanderbilt, and we talked about this weeks ago, when Vanderbilt was placed where they were placed in the first initial rankings, I knew that spelled trouble for Vandy. Because I guarantee you they were looking at Vandy's remaining schedule at that point and said, oh, they're going to have at least two losses. So we can just keep them right here. And they did have those, but they were tough games. And if you watch the games, you knew Vanderbilt, especially in the Alabama game, they were much better than what that score indicated. That game was much closer than what that score indicated. They went toe-to-toe with an Alabama team who was getting to that point where they were peaking. And Vanderbilt was able to, you take out those two bad plays for Pavia. Maybe they still would have lost, but the score wouldn't have looked the way it looked. But I think at that point, they put Vanderbilt in a spot where they were never going to crack it unless there was just this momentum shift. And Vandy won games that they didn't think they were going to win. Those two games against Alabama and Texas, I guarantee you the committee went in there thinking, oh, those are going to be losses.
This was a great passage.
Because both of them were away. They were away games.
This was a good passage to me by Pete Sampson of The Athletic. And he was really writing about Notre Dame and the outrage of Notre Dame. It is kind of funny that Notre Dame gets the raw deal, because often in the past, I think people would say they've gotten the benefit. Yeah.
Notre Dame's AD went on the Dan Patrick show.
Yes, he did.
And said that the ACC has done permanent damage to its relationship with Notre Dame because of how they were stumping for Miami and not Notre Dame.
Right. And so he would say, I think he makes a good point in that it's one thing for Miami to argue for themselves, but the league was ganging up on Notre Dame.
I believe the ACC network played a replay, like 13 replays of Miami's win against Notre Dame.
But what is
which was a very close game at Miami.
What is he supposed to do? He's their commissioner of the ACC. Like,
but like Notre Dame has got like
supposed to take care of
they're
my family?
They're kind of in the ACC.
No. Sort of. You're a cousin. You ain't a part of my household. You ain't my kid.
That's right.
Or my wife. You're a cousin. So, I mean, I'm supposed to stick up for my kids. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It was 13 replays. ACC 13 Network replays. Played 13 replays of Miami's win against Notre Dame.
If you missed it before.
Here it is again.
So here's Pete Sampson about Hunter Yurecek. The talking head behind the weekly farce produced by ESPN for the sake of creating faux outrage until the outrage became very real on Sunday. Last week, my colleague Bruce Feldman rage tweeted about the College Football Playoff Committee's seeming detachment from logic. I think I was using terms similar to that last week, although he was less diplomatic in his word choice. True, it was hard to argue that Notre Dame's belonged in the last at-large spot, considering Miami won the head-to-head meeting. Although I would say, if they had won at Notre Dame, I would completely agree. They won at home in a very close game, so I don't know if that's a big factor. Instead of crumbling after a couple of midseason losses, the Hurricanes closed on a tear similar to the Irish. Against who, I would ask. And they still had that opening weekend win. The games needed to matter, which they did, unless we're talking about the SEC championship game, which apparently didn't matter at all. So I see the point. But again, Yurecek cannot weed through this stuff and be able to tell you clearly without being exposed as trying to float dumb stuff past intelligent people that watch this passionately every week, especially if you're covering it as a whole, like a Heather Dinich or Sampson or some of these college football people, or if you're looking at it through your team's perspective. The BS flag goes flying all the time because it doesn't make any sense. It's just rationalizing for one decision. And I get it. No matter what you do, two teams get the raw deal. But be better at explaining the process, because if you can't, it calls into a lot of question what the process is.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take your reaction to the college football playoff bracket. Did the committee get it right? 615-737-1025. We will continue the conversation coming up next. Mondays were made for Maseru. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From case of the kickoffs, this is how Maseru does game night. Maseru Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap.
I agree, Reese. This is a bracket that's going to be talked about forever, really. And not just because Notre Dame got excluded, but because of the framework that created the choices the committee had to make. And Nick talks about tweaks. There was a tweak after last season, what people didn't like about it. There's going to be something more than a tweak, I think, going forward, because all of a sudden, inclusivity, which most people in the sport think is a pretty good idea. Even Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the deepest conference, thinks that you can't have group of five conferences play and have it mean absolutely nothing the entire season if there's not a possibility of getting in the CFP. So inclusivity sounds good until teams like Notre Dame and Texas and Vanderbilt get squeezed out. Then people have a serious problem with it.
That was Chris Fowler on the College Football Playoff Bracket Reveal program on ESPN. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at the Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. David James is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Skyler on our text line does lead me to my next topic. He says Vanderbilt and Notre Dame should have both been in instead of Tulane and James Madison. We don't need to watch Tulane and James Madison get whooped. By the way, Tulane went to Ole Miss early this season. Ole Miss defeated Tulane 45-10. The opening line on that game is Ole Miss by 16.5. JMU at Oregon opened at Oregon minus 20.5. And I don't want to belittle the little guys. I heard a report on ESPN that after Duke won the ACC championship against UVA, one of JMU's players stormed the quad at JMU with other students celebrating Duke's win against Virginia because it probably meant that James Madison was getting into the field. But to Skyler's point, does anybody want to watch the – let me rephrase that, because Tulane fans will want to watch it, JMU fans will want to watch it, but by and large, does the College Football Playoff watching audience want to watch Tulane go to Ole Miss, JMU go to Oregon, and most likely get crushed?
My answer might surprise you a little bit. because I do have a soft spot for the inclusivity. That's a good word by Fowler. And also, sidebar, thank you, Chris Fowler, for at least mentioning Vanderbilt in the teams that got screwed. But that is going to be the big discussion going forward, because I do think if you're in the same division, there should be a pathway if you're going to expand the playoff for the little guy to have a shot. Now, those lines are ominous, right? And very likely, of course, what we saw last year, the first year they did this, none of the little guys played well. They just verified or validated what everybody thought. Oh, they shouldn't be in there. But I do remember when Boise State had a couple of big – remember when they beat Adrian Peterson in Oklahoma, that great game in the Orange Bowl or whatever bowl that was? Was it the Orange Bowl? Maybe it was in Arizona, Fiesta Bowl. But that's – we do live to see those great upsets, right? We do live to – so if college football – if those teams can be good enough to challenge, the problem is, other than Boise State, there really hasn't been a lot of those. Like, football is a game of manpower, right? It's hard for a game where you involve 50 to 60 players, 70 players that are in a game, for the underdog, that big of an underdog, to pull an upset in a playoff game. It's different in a basketball game. So with that being said, that's a philosophical discussion. But I think it's pretty special on that James Madison campus, right, where they get the word that they're in. Here's another quick thing. If Virginia wins over Duke, which they didn't, does Miami get in? The politics of it, right? If they don't put Miami in, the ACC gets no money. They don't have a team in there. Did that factor into the decision? Oh, yes, it did. I'll answer it for you. So, but that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be about that. But I guarantee you that's in the back of everybody's mind.
I do want to read a counter argument to what I just said from Stephen Godfrey, great college football columnist. He wrote this for the Washington Post. Quote, while you could argue 10-2 Notre Dame's value compared with other at-large teams, such as 10-3 Alabama or 10-2 Oklahoma, those SEC programs boast better wins against stronger teams and more of them. Miami's spot should have belonged to the Irish, because Miami should have played in and won the ACC championship game, become one of the five highest-ranked conference champions, and knocked James Madison out. None of this is JMU's fault. TV revenue-seeking mega conferences such as the ACC are responsible for this by badly managing their product, even if they'll seek to blame anyone but themselves, end quote. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, listen, everybody's going to talk about, you know, again, JMU being in. And the article's right. It's not JMU's fault. They, you know, did what they had to do to put themselves in a position to be in a college football playoffs. It's just the things around them, you know, sort of changed, and then how the committee saw it change. So I don't think you can blame JMU. I think you just need to continue to, you know, stay on a committee. And what are the requirements? Are the requirements the same for an ACC team for an SEC team as it is for an ACC team? Are the requirements the same for a Big 12 team as it is for the SEC? Because y'all brought up a point. Alabama gets blown out in their SEC championship game, and it's not held against them. But BYU gets their pants beat down, and everybody's like, they don't deserve to be in. So you can't say on one hand, you know what, I'm going to disregard that game. But on the other hand, say, you know what, I'm going to count that against you, BYU.
But the committee telegraphed that with Alabama by putting them standings before last week.
But see, that's the thing. If you didn't rank before, then everybody would be thrown into the pot. Then you would have a real fair discussion.
I've got some bad news for you, Willie. According to Front Office Sports, the media rights contract requires 5 rankings reveal shows in the lead-up to the CFP bracket reveal on the Sunday after conference championship games.
Not for logic, for money.
Right. So,
and drama, and
I agree with you that we should do away with the weekly reveal. As I've said before, I can't remember if it's 1 or 2, but usually in February, maybe it's in early March before the conference tournaments, but the college basketball selection committee will have a show where they reveal the top 16
right.
seeds.
And
in
they
the
shouldn't do that. We got by for decades without doing that. Now we feel like we got to do it. No, it
I would rather
no
have
purpose.
One
None.
Or two. If I have to have one, I would rather have one, maybe two, than five or six or
okay,
whatever the
I'll
hell.
I'll beat you halfway on that. I still think it's not necessary at all. It doesn't do anything. It just puts you out there.
You have two.
The data is not all the way in yet. It's like when I say, or you know, we're sitting here going, "Hey, if the season stopped today." Like on June 1st, I would say, hey, if the Mets season stopped today, they'd be the number one team in the National League. You think that matters now? No, because the season didn't stop that day. You have to wait until all the data in. So that is what they should do. Wait till everybody's played, put everybody in the same boat, and don't go off of what you rank teams but before. And the Alabama thing is a really interesting question. How do you think Texas feels, too, sitting there going, oh, if it, like – the good point by Sarkisian is if we'd have played Ohio U and not Ohio State, they would have a much different resume that would probably have them looking much, much better.
Let's go to Dave on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Dave, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I've got one comment. I have a problem with Miami making the cut because apparently – they didn't even have a good enough record to make their conference championship. So these conference championship games are just a money grab, and they need to be done away with if they don't mean anything. I think Duke should be on that line instead of Miami, and that's just my take on that. If you're going to play a conference championship game, then it should mean something similar to what you have in the NCAA basketball tournament. And that's just my opinion. I appreciate your show and enjoy listening to you on the way home every evening.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
They're telling you that it matters with some conference and it matters and it doesn't matter with other ones. They're telling you that. Thanks to the caller for calling in. We appreciate it. But they're telling you, yeah, it matters in the ACC. I mean, it matters in the SEC. Well, it doesn't matter in the SEC, but it does matter in the Big 12.
It took, by the way, the ACC's fifth tiebreaker, combined win percentage of conference opponents, to send Duke to the ACC title game.
It also has you thinking, as a league, should you take control and say, look, for playoff purposes, because there was a scenario where the ACC got nobody in, and they could have maybe protected themselves by saying, okay, look, let's take the highest-ranked team. Forget about the tiebreakers, mm-hmm. and let's take – we got to do what we got to do. They, in theory, they could do that, right? The league decides who their champion is, but right? Who's in the championship. For a tiebreaker, they could have just said, well, Miami's higher ranked. Let's put them in the ACC championship game. That way we know we're going to get somebody in.
And then I would be screaming, collusion!
Exactly. Right, right, right.
Yeah, so it's –
but that would – but at least on the if they made it up on the day before, that'd be one thing. But if that was the league rule, then everybody wouldn't understand. But I think you might get a vote would say, yeah, we want our highest ranked team in there if it's tiebreaker.
Look, I watched the game on Saturday night. It was great. I was happy for Duke, of course. But I knew because they kept on showing the graphic. If Duke wins, chance of the CFP inclusion. Less than 0.1%. Okay, tell me there's a chance. Let's go to Alan on our phone line. Alan, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
All right, so, man, I worry about a lot of things here with Vanderbilt, just like Willie does. And I think that they're going to shut us out. Of course, they didn't want us to have a decent bowl game, but I think it's okay. But the bigger problem for me is I think they're going to shut Diego out, Pavia, because of his height. And I think they're going to diss us when it comes to the Heisman. That's what I wanted to say if y'all want to talk about it.
Thank you for the call. By the way, Vanderbilt will play Iowa at the ReliaQuest Bowl, in Tampa on December 31st.
It used to be called Bowl. It used to be Bowl. It's a good bowl. It's the Florida.
Tampa is lovely on New Year's Eve. Tennessee will play Illinois at the Music City Bowl on December 3rd.
Yeah. I mean, look. That's what bowl game you go to if you're the first tier out of the thing. It's either Orlando or Tampa. That's how it's always been. I mean, Big Ten versus SEC.
Yeah, listen.
So when you hear the sponsor, you're like, what bowl game?
The ReliaQuest Bowl.
Right.
It's the Outback. Oh, Outback Bowl. But I get it. I mean, Vandy, you know, they did what they needed to do to put themselves in a position to make the college football playoffs. It didn't happen. I think next year, if they had the same season, they get in. You know, kind of like Indiana, there was more respect this year and no question in Indiana this year as opposed to last year. Maybe because of schedule, and they had beat Oregon already during the season, so people felt that, you know, this is a legit team. But in regards to Pavia's potential Heisman Trophy, listen, I wonder how close this is going to be. I really do, because before that Big Ten championship game, I would have thought that whoever was in ahead, it was narrowly. Like, whether it was Pavia or it was Mendoza. Sarin. Listen, I could have probably threw to those guys that he has. I mean, come on now. But the kid's a good player. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it in all tongue in cheek. But after that game, I said Mendoza won that for himself. Because last impression is going to be the impression that the voters see. They saw a kid going against the number one team in the country, probably the number one defense in the country, a bunch of first-rounders just littered on that team. And that drive he needed to have to win the game, that throw was his Heisman throw. And after he won it after that, and he beat the number one team in the country. I don't know how they don't give it to him. I think it's going to be close. I wonder how close it's going to be. But had Diego played in the SEC championship game and had the game that he had his last game, I think that against Tennessee, I think that would have put him over the edge.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have a lot of reaction to the college football playoff bracket, so we will get to that next. 615-737-1025. You can join Chase and Big Joe tomorrow from noon to 3 at the Dunkin' located at 926 Gallatin Avenue in Nashville. Willie, I think that's in our neck of the woods in East Nashville. Stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. 1025 The Game has teamed up with Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you. Just for stopping by, you'll be qualified for a 4-pack of tickets and the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to a Predators home game. A special thanks to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relidyne. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy.
Indiana, the Big Ten champs. How does that sound?
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We're never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, and we have around us, we're able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
That was Fernando Mendoza after Indiana defeated Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Indiana winning its first outright Big Ten title since 1945 and defeating Ohio State for the first time since 1988. So you can understand the excitement.
It was almost like he had this Kevin Garnett slash Will Ferrell in what's it called? Was it Talladega Nights?
Ricky Bobby?
Old
Ricky
school. Bobby. Like, old school. David, yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, he was like.
First of all.
Never heard anything like that in my life.
I loved the kid. I mean.
It was hilarious.
I smiled. It was like, man, this kid. Yeah. Like,
that was the first time I've ever heard Fernando Mendoza speak.
Yeah.
So my first thought was, are we sure this is Fernando Mendoza? Did they pull aside the wrong player? Did somebody take his uniform and fool us all? But I love the emotion.
The emotion
was fantastic.
Great. There was more. It was hard to hear it, but the whole thing from start to finish, yeah, it was just really something. It was like, I wonder, like an NFL scout who's looking and go, well, you know, I like this guy. This guy could be the first pick of the draft. And then you hear that. Is that affect you at all? Like, it was so bizarre. But it was like a kid, it was like a 15-year-old kid that just like had never had ice cream before and like started trying ice cream. Ice cream's unbelievable. I can't believe it. I mean, it was just.
So what you said, he was having a sugar rush?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That was unlike anything I've ever heard.
But that's what happens when you win the, what's it?
The Big Ten title.
No, I'm saying the second ever.
First outright Big Ten title since 1945.
Yeah, so you should.
First win against Ohio State since 1988.
Man, so.
And who picked that game in Silly Underdog Picks last week?
Ooh.
This guy.
Because you had the first pick.
But you also won this week, Derek.
And you were complaining that I let other games get in the mix. Look at you.
If I had not won this weekend, I was going to file a motion.
Fair weather.
I was going to file a motion.
Especially because I won in another division. And he would have really been upset. Yeah. Like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Look, the previous segment, somebody was asking about the Heisman. Indiana is a story. They're undefeated. I think if you really look at it objectively, there's no comparison to the stats and the value of Diego Pavia to his team. But sometimes the Heisman's just about a story. And as you mentioned, D-Mace, that last impression, the extra game, everybody's watching that game. They beat Ohio State. He has the one magical moment. That's the only touchdown pass he threw. His stats weren't that great. They only scored 13 points. And you could argue Ohio State still should have won the game. They credit Indiana. They made a couple of big stops. They missed a chip shot field goal that would have tied
it. Kickers.
But look, I understand why the odds are what they are.
By the way,
I hope people had already voted before they watched that game.
Those odds on FanDuel Sportsbook: Mendoza -2,500, Pavia at second at +1,200. So a significant gap between Mendoza and Pavia. Greg Roberts on our text line says, buddy of mine said he deserved to lose the Heisman because of that interview.
It is the strangest interview. I hate to say it.
Good for him. I was so happy for him.
Now I'm curious. Is he like that every day?
He was having a sugar rush, man.
He just discovered ice cream.
Yes, exactly.
Is he like that every day when he comes in?
As I said, that is the first time I've ever heard him speak. I think that's the first time I've ever seen him without a helmet on. I can't say I watch a lot of Indiana football, I'll be honest with you. So it was a shock. It was a shock for me. One texter about Notre Dame not making the college football playoff and choosing not to play in any bowl games. Any team that refuses to play in the bowl because they did not make the playoffs does not deserve the playoffs. Their decision disrespects their fans, their players, their institution. It financially impacts their institution negatively, and it is the attitude of a child. I am incredibly glad that they were not chosen and that they have revealed their selfish immaturity. I would punish them next year by not choosing them, even if they make it.
I think this may end up not working out well. Listen, it's going to eventually, you know, people will get over it. But I think in the short term, this is not going to be a good thing for Notre Dame. Because it looks like, oh, we didn't make it. So are we just taking our ball and we're going home? Forget y'all. It's like, listen, it's not like the team that they took ahead of you didn't beat you. They beat you. So they took them. Right. I mean, if you don't – I get it, the whole – how they presented it and all the stuff they went on. It was dumb.
It was a bait and switch.
Exactly. But they beat you in a head-to-head matchup. They beat you. And now all of a sudden, you don't want to plan – you want to take your ball like, we're just going to play. But then you and I talked about this, Willie. The extra practice time that you get when you have bowl games, all gone now. Why wouldn't you want those guys to have that extra time? What did you say to convince them to say, or did you even really give them a choice? Like, really give them a choice?
I think it's important.
You guys don't want to practice anymore,
because
right?
Because as a senior, I would want to play. Regardless
of what.
You
got one game left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would have wanted to play that last game.
I think it was an impulsive thing. It's one of those things probably where that decision feels really good in the moment.
Yes.
Screw you.
I've done that before.
I'm not going. We're not playing. We got ripped off, and I'm going to show you we're not going. And then you get back home about 24 hours later, you're like, we don't have any more games? We're not allowed to practice?
We can't even practice?
We got a lot to do here. Like, what were we thinking? Like, I think the further removed from that decision, you're going to regret it.
Here's an interesting wrinkle that I have seen reported in multiple places, but I'm reading it from ESPN.com. Quote, as part of a memorandum of understanding signed last year that guarantees that the field will have at least 12 teams in 2026 and beyond, Notre Dame would be guaranteed a spot if it finished in the top 12 starting next year.
How? How do you do that? How do you just guarantee a team, like one team? How do you just guarantee
them? We saw it week in and week out how they manipulated the rankings. They can rank them wherever they want.
Exactly.
They had Pitt ranked in the top 25 over Tennessee. Come on. Like, it's all convenience. You find reasons to put teams in or teams out. You manipulate.
One texter says, I agree with you, Adam, on my point about do we really want to watch JMU and Tulane get slaughtered in the first round? But in the end, does it really matter with regards to who the national champion will be? Not really. It only matters for that first weekend, and that's it. I understand that point. I'm not expecting JMU or Tulane to go on some sort of Cinderella run here. But I know it's apples and oranges comparing the college football playoff to the NCAA men's basketball tournament. But there are only 12 teams in this one versus 68 teams.
Now, did
I want to see the best 12 teams. No disrespect to JMU. I have a lot of friends who went to JMU in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Lovely part of the country. But I just don't – I'm not sure I'm going to turn on that game because I'm expecting a blowout. Same with Tulane and Ole Miss. I've seen that game already. Ole Miss won 45-10. How different is it going to be this time?
Well, they don't have Lane.
Lane Kiffin.
The villain.
Well, Lane probably don't care. Okay. I'm trying to make sure.
JMU, by the way, went 12-1 overall, 8-0 in the Sun Belt. They played one Power Four team all season, lost to Louisville 28-14.
Okay. Last year, what was the big, talk? Arizona State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was different last year because of the guaranteed conference championship.
They got a bye.
But I get that. But people know Arizona State doesn't deserve. They lost, three games last year, I think?
But my man Cam Scataboo.
Yeah, but they got in. Well. They had awesome. The bye. And they made that a hell of a game against Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That went down to the wire. So now it made people rethink, like, okay, maybe it's not a bad thing to throw a team like – and I'm not saying that JMU is Arizona State. But when Arizona State got put in last year, everybody was like, why are they in? You know, why do they have a bye? And they showed you why they had a bye, because they took a damn good Texas team, to the wire.
Look, when that game's on, I would love to see James Madison.
I'm
going to
watch the
game. I'd like to see it. But and remember that, like, the Boise State, there was all this clamoring. They were winning. Hey, let's get the little guy in there. Hey, there was one year, maybe a couple years after that, Hawaii went undefeated, mm-hmm. and they got in the Sugar Bowl, and everybody was like, yeah, they deserve to be in there. And they played Georgia, and they got slaughtered. And it was like, that's why we don't put the little guy in the big bowl sometimes.
Right. If Ole Miss does exactly what it did to Tulane mm-hmm. a couple of months ago and beats the Green Wave 45-10 in the first round of the college football playoff, that's what we're going to be hearing. Tulane didn't deserve to be in. It doesn't matter that they won their conference. This is what we get.
It might get the rule changed if it goes like that. It will influence what decisions are made.
One texter says, bluntly, F the G5, LOL.
Hey, well, now, let's relax.
We brought this up earlier. David, let's get your take on this because you follow Memphis. And, Memphis is one of those teams that would be right on the fence probably. But what would be more compelling? Having that group of teams, James Madison, Tulane, et cetera, play like an 8-team playoff, and then you have a separate division above, which has been talked about a lot, right? It's been talked about out in the open, but they keep everybody together. But it looks like this is going to push it further to that. Where, like in high school, that's why we have more classifications. If you look at most states, maybe 50 years ago, they probably had three. When I first got to Nashville and went to Vanderbilt, there were only three classifications and no private schools. It was A, double A, triple A for the whole state of Tennessee. Now they got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now they got the privates, 1, 2, 3.
They got 9
right,
classifications,
so they've gone from 3 to 9 mm-hmm. in a generation, basically. What if you did that for college football? And you had basically tier one, tier two, and had a national champion among the group of four. A group of five.
I think it would make sense because, again, the FCS has that as well. So I think that would, honestly, it would build up, the group of fives from what it seems. I mean, again, Memphis, a few years ago before Mike Norvell went to FSU, they obviously played in the Cotton Bowl against Penn State. It was a close game at first, but then, you know, obviously Penn State, you know, shows why they are the Power Four conference like they are. So they're it makes sense. You see, like, the little guys like UCF when they won the national championship back in 2017. I think it would make more sense to do that, like, especially now with them wanting to go to 16-team playoff.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the college football playoff bracket. It's over and done with. Vanderbilt, by the way, will play in the ReliaQuest Bowl against Iowa in Tampa on December 31st. Tennessee will play Illinois at the Music City Bowl here in town on December 30th. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans. Coming up next, the Titans win 31-29 against the Browns. We'll take your reaction to that as well. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.